Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, August 29th, 2018. And with me today, I have Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm doing well, too. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, John.
It's great to have both of you here. It's also great that Jamf now is our sponsor today, and we'll talk about them soon. I think we should start off the day with a little whiskey, or specifically, Whiskey Lake.
Is it a day that ends in Y already?
Already, yes. Kids, don't try drinking in the morning at home.
Leave that to professionals like Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, that path just leads to disappointment and ruin and probably liver and kidney issues as well. But I digress. Whiskey Lake, Amber Lake, these are the new processors that Intel announced today. And they are 14 nanometer processors. These come in line after Kaby Lake.
We need to explain what 14 nanometers means for those listeners who may be a little bit...
How about if I play straight man for a second? John, what do you mean by 14 nanometer?
Well, a nanometer is a billionth of a meter, and so this is the size of the transistors and the gates on the CPU surface. And so it's characteristic of the largest size of the transistor components. So it tells you how many transistors you can place on a certain area because of the size of these components. And the smaller these components get, like, you know, going from 65 to 40 to 20 to 14 nanometers, the more transistors you can put in a given surface area. So that's what the 14 nanometer process descriptor means.
So okay, what does that mean for me, though, as a person who buys that product?
More transistors, more power, more functionality.
Horsepower.
Yeah.
More
so more processing oomph to put. Okay. That's what I'm looking to find out. Okay.
Now, the reason I bring up that it's 14 nanometers is because everyone's been champing at the bit for Intel to release 10 nanometer processors. And there was a lot of hope that whatever Intel announced next, which is Whiskey Lake and Amber Lake, that these would be 10 nanometer chips, and they're not. So that tells me that we're still at least a year away from Intel finally catching up with AMD on the 10 nanometer front.
I think it was the Intel Canon Lake that was supposed to go to 10 nanometers. We've heard about difficulties, as you said.
Yeah. So
10 nanometer chips do exist, is what we're hearing. It's just that Intel hasn't gotten around to their own flavor of them.
Correct.
Okay. Yes.
So
there's probably fabrication issues.
Of course. I mean, they can probably make them, but they burn up because everything is too tight. There's too much heat and maybe resistance issues.
Deposition flaws resulting in bad gate connections.
Which means the chip just don't work. Chips
doesn't
just
pass
don't
QA
work.
Test, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So much like when we heard that Apple was having trouble with Apple Watch Sapphire Glass, like they can make it, but not at a scale that allows them to just go sell it to everybody.
Right.
It's possible that this is the same sort of thing. They can create them, but not at scale like they would need to fill Apple laptops or anybody else's.
Yes. So now these processors that Intel announced, I think are very interesting because this is part of their mobile computer chip line. So these are the sort of chips that we could see in, say, a MacBook or an updated MacBook Air even. The Whiskey Lake, that's the more, that's the higher horsepower chip. We're looking at 4-core, 8 threads, as opposed to Amber Lake, which will be 2-core, 4 threads. And so we could potentially see Whiskey Lake processors in MacBooks or MacBook Pro.
I have more questions than answers. Typically, okay. It's many, many months from the time Intel ships these processors until they show up in an Apple product. And to surmise that they're going to show up right away in the new mythical low-cost MacBook Air or whatever seems kind of dubious to me.
I have seen people speculating that, I mean, it's possible that Apple and Intel have been able to work something out so that Apple could get, say, like Amber Lake processors, because that would be a perfect thing for this new MacBook that we've heard rumors about, yeah, or a refreshed MacBook Air, because you have longer battery life and you have gigabit Ethernet built in, you have support for Thunderbolt 3, the high-speed USB 3.1 spec, all of that's built in. But in the end, John, I'm with you. I don't think Apple's going to be able to get these processors right away because, I mean, today's what, the 29th? Today is the day that they actually rolled out. So we'll see limited availability through some PC makers, because that's how this always starts. And then maybe next fall, next summer, if we're really lucky, that's when we'll see these in Apple's computers.
Another question I have, and I do not have an answer, is are they Spectre proof?
That's a good question, and I don't know, but I would certainly hope so.
Because they talk about the improvements in the speed, but does that speed come with allowance for the slowdown and the pipeline adjustments for being Spectre-proof and foreshadow-proof?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, as far as speed goes, I don't know the answer yet. The way they are comparing this to other chips, they're saying it's twice as fast as the chips you'd find in a five-year-old PC. So what I'm guessing is that for performance, we will see marginal improvements over Kaby Lake. So if you're looking at these as the big performance booster, maybe not.
But what I thought was interesting was the more integrated approach, the USB 3.1 on board, as you said.
Gigabit
Thunderbolt
on board.
On board, it simplifies the circuit design, probably produces a lower power system.
And here's another interesting thing. It has built into it support for voice assistant systems. And Intel mentions A-Lady and C-Lady specifically, but doesn't mention S-Lady. And so now I'm wondering, does this support Apple's voice platform? Because that could be kind of interesting.
Well, I wonder if part of the reason it doesn't is because of some sort of security mechanism at this point, and maybe they can't say it because they haven't been certified yet, like whatever they would call it for her, if, you know, like made for iPhone, but for S-Lady.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what that is, but I wonder if maybe that's why, because we haven't really seen anything that didn't come from Apple that allowed that sort of support. So I wonder what the process was to make it so that the current models can support that sort of stuff. Maybe that's what's happening with the new chip.
That could
also
be.
Kelly, the other day I saw an article that said that Siri on the Mac has been somewhat of a bust. I don't use it so much myself. I use it more on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm. I think people do. Like, I know, like, almost everyone I know who has the ability for Siri on a computer has it turned off because they have another device near them, whether it's a HomePod or an iPod a HomePod or an iPhone or an iPad, that they hay that instead of their computer. So I don't know. And I personally, and I know this is anecdata, I don't know anybody who doesn't have
anecdotal.
There we go. I don't know anyone who has Siri knowingly enabled and uses it on their computer. Most people I know try it on accident. Their computer wakes up and they're like, no, what are you doing? Turn it off. And then turns it off.
Listeners, if you're using Siri on your Macintosh, drop us a note. Tell us what you do.
Please do.
Yeah. There are places you can do that. One is Twitter. That would be @TMODaily. Another one is email, observations@macobserver.com. And then the third place is in the show notes. You can leave comments there. So, yeah, curious to see who's using this. Potentially longer battery life. Intel says up to 16 hours.
But, interesting.
My guess is that once you take them out of the lab and put them in real world use, that we're looking at 10 hour chips, which is still nice, but it's not 16 hours.
True.
Yeah. So I think these are interesting chips. I don't think we'll see them in Macs this year, and we'll just see how long it takes. So, hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Jamf Now. And I'm a Jamf Now fan because it lets me handle all of my tech. So my Mac, my iPhone, my iPads, as if I have my own IT department that's managing everything for me, because that's kind of what it does. It lets me keep track of all my serial numbers. It lets me keep track of what operating system version is on each device. I can store device settings. I can set minimum requirements for password security. So, you know, like, don't want to have a 4-digit passcode, so I can lock my devices down so that it's not even possible to do that. And if a device gets lost or stolen, I can use this to remotely wipe the device and then brick it as well. So I'm getting to do the same things that businesses do, which is why Jamf Now is here, so that we can do that and businesses can do it as well, and it doesn't cost a fortune. You can sign up for free, and you can have 3 devices on your account for free forever. That's not a special deal, not a limited time offer. That's just what they do. Free account and 3 devices for free. If you need to have additional devices on your account, no problem. That's pretty cheap. It's only $2 per device per month. So you can scale up and not break the bank. And that's great if you have a small or mid-sized business and you have a bunch of devices you need to manage for your employees. This is a great way to do it. It's easy, it's affordable, and it's just turned out to be wonderfully handy for me. So head over to the Jamf Now website. That's jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO, and sign up for your account there, jamf.com/TDO. And thank you, Jamf Now, for being our sponsor today. All right. The other thing that we need to talk about today is Airport Express and this firmware update that was released yesterday. So for everyone that's stopping and thinking, wait, firmware update for Airport Express? I totally get it, because Apple has killed off their Airport product line. They haven't released a new Airport Extreme or Airport Express or even a time capsule for years. And yesterday we get a firmware update for Airport Express. And what this firmware update does is add in AirPlay 2 support. So you can use an Airport Express, which has an audio outport on it, as part of your home audio streaming system, which is really nice. But here's the catch. This only works on the Airport Express that was manufactured starting in 2012. So if you have anything earlier than that, this isn't going to work. So the original one where the whole thing plugs into the wall, nope. The later ones where it looks like a flat box with a cord that plugs into the wall, only if it's 2012 and later. So what do you guys think about this?
So how does the geometry of that work? So you have a HomePod with one component of the audio, and then you connect one of these guys and use AirPlay 2 to get a second speaker in the mix?
You could guessing. Do that, sure. Or you could put this in another room and have audio playing in multiple rooms. You could then control the music coming out of your HomePod and your Airport Express from another device, your iPhone, your iPad, your Mac. So yeah, you can just integrate this with a whole home audio system, multi-room audio system, just as if you were setting up multiple HomePods, or if you had, say, a Sonos system. And actually, with Apple TV, because that supports AirPlay 2, you could set up an Apple TV with your television in one place, and then maybe you want to have stereo speakers behind you, but you don't want to have a wire going there. Okay, well, you could plug in an Airport Express and have your stereo speakers set up that way.
Why would Apple do this for a product they're not shipping? It's a concession to people who already have the product.
Thank you, John, for asking my question. Why would you release an update for something that stopped shipping? In, because not only has Apple not updated anything that starts with the word airport in an age,
mm-hmm.
but they stopped selling them in April.
Mm-hmm.
So
and then we get this update.
Even if this is exciting to you, you can't go to an Apple store and buy one. You have to go on eBay or whatever. So that's the part that I'm confused by is the backwardsness of this. Like, I would expect the update to come out and then them go, like, you know, get while the getting's good because we're about to pull these off the shelf. So I'm sort of confused by the timing of these two events.
I am too.
My guess is that because Airport Express already had the audio out port in it, and it was always, because of that, it was always a device that Apple said, hey, look, you can use this for audio streaming in your home, that they had someone that was able to put this together without taking much in the way of resources and convinced the right product manager that they should just go ahead and roll it out. I mean, there were hints in the iOS 12 code already that this could happen. So my guess is that there was someone on the AirPlay 2 team that has an Airport Express at home and really wanted to be able to use it and convinced their boss that they needed to move forward with this. And now here it is.
Now, I just want to be clear. We're talking about the one that basically looks like a white Apple TV. Yes?
Yes. Yes. And if yours was manufactured before 2012, the update will not show up for you.
Okay.
So that's one way to tell.
So it's even more specific than yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 2012 or later.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm with you. It seems kind of weird, but at the same time, it's kind of cool because that means this old piece of tech that a lot of people have sitting around and are using to stream music anyhow, mm-hmm. now it can be part of their entire AirPlay 2 setup.
Their new setup in some cases, I would say. Maybe this will prompt some people to pull these out of drawers and dust them off and find a use for it somewhere in their house.
Yeah, and I was all ready to go and find the box that my Airport Express is in and set it up and plug speakers into it. And then I saw the fine print, 2012 and later. Mine's older than that. So no AirPlay 2 streaming to my Airport Express. It'll just stay in the box for now. Yeah. Well, we are about out of time. So I guess it's time for us to wrap up. Kelly, thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
Always fun. John, I'm so glad you're here too. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me too. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
And Jamf Now, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO, and get your free account and pop three devices in there for free forever. And if you need to add anything else, it's only $2 a month per device. So jamf.com/TDO. Thank you, Jamf, now for being our sponsor. Listeners, I am so glad you are here. Thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.